Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, coming to terms with unimaginable tragedy. We'll hear from Creasla in Donegal shortly. Daniel O'Donnell pays tribute to those who died, and we'll hear about efforts to support those left behind through the terrible times ahead. Also today, missile strikes in cities across Ukraine this morning, including in the capital Kyiv, will bring you the very latest. Still no junior cert results for those who sat the exams before the summer. Evelyn speaks to students and teachers who are still waiting. And what happens when you have cancer and come out the other side? We'll hear about a service which helps people to get back on their feet after treatment. Our text number is always 51551. The email address is todaycb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. And first, we go to Creasla in northwest Donegal this morning. A community ripped apart by that devastating explosion at a service station and supermarket on Friday afternoon. Gardaí say technical examinations are expected to continue today into what caused the blast at Lafferty's Applegreen, in which 10 people died and many others were injured. Funeral preparations are being made for the 4 men, 3 women, 2 teenagers and a 5-year-old girl who lost their lives in the tragedy as locals struggle to deal with what happened. Our reporter John Cook is live in Creasla for us now. Good morning, John. Will you firstly describe the scene for us there this morning?
I will, Claire, and the rain is falling here again over northwest Donegal this morning, a really beautiful part of Ireland. And so even though the sun has shone through a few times over Sheephaven Bay today, the rain is somehow more reflective of the mood I've encountered yesterday and today here in a devastated part of Donegal. I'm looking at the shell of what used to be Lafferty's shop as I speak to you. It's a post office as well, the Applegreen petrol station. Some locals call it by the old name of Vivo. There was also a beauty salon here and upstairs apartments in the complex, which was a rest stop-off point for tourists travelling from Letterkenny to Dunfanaghy through the beautiful hills of Donegal. But for locals in Creasla, it was the heart of their village, they told me, where they met and did their business. The heart that was cruelly ripped out on what should have been a normal Friday afternoon as parents stopped off bringing kids home from school. People did their banking at the post office or the ATM machine. Motorists refuelled their cars. Children and teenagers chose ice cream, sweets and birthday cake, while young couples or friends met outside or talked upstairs in their apartments. All that changed shortly after 3:10 on Friday afternoon with a blast that almost collapsed the entire building, blew windows out of houses up to 100 yards away, the shattered glass on the road beside me as I speak to you, Claire, and net curtains blowing in the wind today, symbolic of the homes left feeling utterly empty and the lives torn apart by what locals are still struggling to process today. Brian Dolan's agri-consultancy office is just down the road from here. His wife Margaret Ann went out to get coffee and to lodge money in the post office at Lafferty's on Friday afternoon, shortly after 3 o'clock, and she'd walked away just minutes before the blast. Thankfully, Brian told me, she got out unharmed.
Yeah, she was in the building minutes beforehand.
Yeah, I suppose, a lucky escape.
Yes, we're here to tell the story. Our friends, our neighbours. Some of them are not here.
She called you and you rushed to the scene quickly. Can you describe what that scene looked like as you and others tried to enter in a panic to help those you could see that you knew?
The initial look when you came round the corner and you saw the building, you just automatically got the feeling this is serious. I don't think anybody thought after that. The only thought process was what could you do?
Did you get in yourself to help?
Yes.
Was it possible? Was it safe? Or did people even have time to think of that?
There was people shouting at us to come out, but no.
You knew there were people in there in the rubble trapped?
Yes.
Brian, did you see people saved? And sadly, did you see people who could not be saved?
I'll just say that I saw people saved.
I don't know if that's any comfort, because I know you've lost a lot of friends.
Friends of mine, they're clients of mine. They're
they'll be very sadly missed. As you said, Chrysler, a place no one knew of before. How would you describe this community?
Absolutely brilliant. It's a lovely place. Mm-hmm. Bar Friday afternoon. We're a small, very small community. I say I'm in business. People ask you where you're from. You're from Chrysler. Where's that? You know, it's half an hour west of Letterkenny. Nobody knows Chrysler. Maybe the cutting the corn in Chrysler, or Bride of Gallagher, or maybe the viaduct accident we had out the road 97 years ago, I think it was, before Friday. I think most people in Ireland would never have known where Chrysler was. We will get through it, but I mean, Chrysler will never, ever, ever be the same for anybody here.
Never be the same again. Brian Dolan there, John. And as those 10 lives are mourned in Chrysler, tell us about the talk around the town and the local businesses.
Yeah, Claire, some businesses like the Coffee Pod Cafe here beside a glamping site right across the road from Lafferty's are busy feeding workers, Gardaí, the media today and locals. They looked after the rescuers on Friday and Saturday as they frantically combed through the rubble looking to save lives. As one local told me, though, even in a crowded coffee shop, you could hear a pin drop over the weekend. People don't know what to say. In McNulty's pub and Rose's bar and restaurant last night, there was hushed talk around the bar or in quiet corners by the fire. The grief obviously too raw to talk about, and one sombre barman discreetly whispered to me that some of those sitting in silence had lost family members and close friends in the blast. Talk around the village as parents are bringing their children to school this morning is about the kids that won't be at school anymore, while others still wonder whether a gas explosion can explain the cause of this devastating tragedy, and what Gardaí or technical experts, some I understand who are expected to come from outside of Ireland, will find today and in subsequent investigations in the days ahead. For most I meet, Claire, in this small, close-knit community, the names of those who died are never far from their thoughts. Catherine O'Donnell and her 13-year-old son James Monaghan, 50-year-old Robert Garway and his 5-year-old daughter Shauna Flanagan Garway, 14-year-old Leona Harper, 24-year-old Jessica Gallagher, 48-year-old James O'Flaherty, Martina Martin and Martin McGill, both were aged 49. Hugh Kelly was 59. Others speak of 7 injured people at Letterkenny Hospital, or a man suffering from critical burns being treated at St James's Hospital in Dublin, while others I met quietly and tearfully say it could have been worse. They're counting their blessings after lucky escape, some telling me other school buses would have arrived just minutes later on Friday afternoon had things been different. Rosaline McFadden is a lady I met at the Huckleberry Cafe. She was helping out her daughter Charlene, who runs the business and has also been generously looking after everyone with food and drink throughout the weekend. And Rosaline quietly told me that her daughter Fiona runs the beauty salon at Lafferty's and was in the building beside the petrol station when the blast happened on Friday. Miraculously, she survived.
Fiona got out okay?
Fiona was out okay, yeah.
God, she must be so thankful.
Oh my God, you have no idea. No idea.
And how is she today? Was she injured at all?
Just, she was badly shaken up.
Had she clients in the beauty salon?
They were just gone.
Okay.
There was nobody in the week there that works with her. She was just gone, so there was nobody there but herself at the time.
You've been doing your best throughout the weekend here in the cafe to, I suppose, help feed those in the rescue effort, after those, offer shelter. I suppose everybody's just trying to do their bit, really.
Everybody's trying to do their bit. We're all helping in any way we can.
Has it been a help to see so many people come your way offering support?
Absolutely.
The politician, from the government right down, from the Taoiseach political parties right down.
Yeah, very good. And our own priest here, Father John Joe, so he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. What's been the talk in the cafe today, Rosaline? Are people still numb with shock, or are they thinking about the dreadful days ahead, because so many lost lives here, so many funerals to plan, so many sad goodbyes?
Mostly the days ahead now, everybody's thinking of.
How will you get through it?
I have no idea. I don't know how I will get through it.
Maybe like the way you have through the weekend, just sticking together and doing the bit you can.
Just stick together, do what we can and work together and get on, you know.
My heart goes out to you. Thank you, Rosaline.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Rosaline McFadden there at the Huckleberry Coffee Shop. Now, there were also a number of vigils, John, held in the area and beyond yesterday evening.
Yes, Claire, vigils took place right around Donegal from nearby Kilmacrenan to Milford and Letterkenny, and there'll be more to come. I attended the vigil in Milford last evening, first meeting teenagers and teachers hugging each other for support at Mulroy College, where James Monaghan and Leona Harper were pupils. They then walked to the town centre in Milford, where tea and coffee were served outside the resource centre, while prayers were offered and songs sung to remember those lives lost in Chrysler. As hundreds carried candles, parents and children held each other as Declan Meehan of the Milford Resource Centre spoke of these dark days in Donegal.
I think the mood here is very sombre, and it's reflective of the mood that has hung over the county at large over the past number of days. There's a heaviness and a numbness. I think people are in deep shock and don't know how to process this. I think that, again, we're just trying to provide an outlet for people to come together and to process that, but the mood is very dark.
My name's Shannon Toy, I'm 15. I was very good friends with Leona. She was such a lovely and bubbly girl. It was so shocking to hear that she had passed away.
I'm Beth Kerr, I'm 15, and me and Leona are really good friends, like from when we were younger, and she was the best crack girl about. You couldn't get any better. Like, she was like the life of the party always.
People are hearing stories that Leona might have just pulled into the shop or been picking out an ice cream, I think, after school on Friday. Yeah.
She was a sleepover, wasn't it?
She was going down to Sleep Chrysler for a sleepover with her friend, and they went into the shop for sweets and it just happened. It was very unfortunate.
Poor creditor, like.
So sad.
It's so sad. It's for all the families and all the friends and everything, and even the school.
You've all been coming together with your teachers and parents and big crowds here at Mulroy College and here in Milford as well for this vigil, just hugging each other, I see, wanting to remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she'll be missed, 100%.
Oh, so by so many, she will be missed.
Mm-hmm. Did you know James?
We knew of him. Heart goes out to his family. No one deserves that to happen.
His mother passed away as well in the same incident, and it's absolutely heartbreaking to hear about it.
That no one deserves that to happen. No family.
School will continue. I know their help will be offered. How are you feeling in school this evening, even when you were meeting together?
It was absolutely devastating. It was so devastating. Even to see her family, it would just break your heart.
Seeing her family was like the morning we going to school and like seeing all the empty seats where she was sitting in the classes would be wild hard. Even walking through the halls and not seeing her, like.
You won't forget them.
No, never. She's not a girl that you would forget.
No, if you met her, you'd remember.
Some students there from Mulroy College in Milford remembering their deceased classmates James Monaghan and Leona Harper, two of the 10 lives lost in Chrysler. We'll have more from John Cook later in the programme. But now I'm joined by Brendan O'Connor, President of the Garda Representative Association and also Representative of Gardaí in Donegal. Brendan, thank you very much for speaking to us. I know it's been a very difficult weekend for your members and for yourself. You've been at the scene all over the weekend. There's been a non-stop Garda presence there since Friday afternoon, of course. Tell me how your members are today. How are they doing?
Well, I think, Claire, first of all, good morning. I think John painted a very accurate picture and portrayed exactly the emotions and the feelings in the community, and I think that's just reflected across on Garda Síochána and the members who come to terms with what they were exposed to and what they dealt with over the weekend.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, this morning are thinking about how it's been for first responders like yourself and your colleagues in the Gardaí, and you knew the people involved who were the victims of this tragedy.
Yes, well, the Gardaí are very much part of the community here in Donegal, and for years we used to actually get fuel for the patrol car in Chrysler in Vivo, so we would know all the staff there, and a lot of the guards who responded would, as well as working in the community, a lot of members were mobilised that were off duty that went to the scene straight away. So it's very personal and it's a very real experience. It would be traumatic in any large urban environment where there was anonymous connections, but where the people are known, it just makes it that little bit more difficult to deal with.
And Brendan, you're all professional people, but training can't prepare you for something like this.
No, I think no level of training, but I think the guards, like the community, just went into auto response. And I think, you know, people are focusing on the emergency services and the work that was done, and it was fantastic, but we couldn't have done anything without the mobilisation of the community, and that's what carried the emergency services and made us able to do our job. And, you know, you spoke to Brian Dolan there, Margaret Ann, the lady that was referred to was in the shop. I mean, Margaret Ann was there at 5 o'clock in the morning with trays of tea, giving them out to all the emergency staff. So everybody in the community played their part, and there's nobody that did more than anyone else. It was a collective effort, and that's really, I suppose, what's giving people solace. There's a sense and a bond that, you know, we went through this together, whatever your role. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes that done amazing work who will never be mentioned, people don't even think of. And, you know, the reality is the people who are now maybe part of the follow-up, you know, and there's staff there in the mortuary in Errakenny who are also part of the community, no one even thinks of, and what the efforts that they went through and what they mobilised. And, you know, it's not right maybe to focus on those things, but those people have to be remembered and acknowledged.
Yeah, you know, just hearing you say that, it brings it home just how widespread the impact of something like this is going to be. You know, when you mention those people that we might never otherwise think of being affected by this.
Yes, and that's it. It's very visual and it's very vivid. The people who are at the forefront wearing yellow coats and driving emergency vehicles. But the real heroes here were the people, the young men, the construction workers who rallied, the farm workers. I mean, one thing about a rural community is it's amazing the access to machinery, to equipment, to tools. And that's what was mobilised in the first initial few hours. And that's what actually made the scene was very dangerous. But so many people went in there when it was dangerous and risked their lives and made it a safe environment for the professionals to get in there. And that shouldn't be lost. It really was a community response and a state response. But as I say, I cannot overstate the importance of the role every single individual played. And that goes down to young teenage girls that maybe haven't even left school. They're over there all night in the coffee shops making coffee, keeping the emergency services sustained. There's nobody in the community that hasn't played a part, and there's nobody in the community that isn't suffering and dealing with the fallout from this.
And Brendan, I know our listeners will have heard descriptions of people in there in flip-flops and shorts trying to move rubble. Civilians, let's call them that, with diggers trying to remove blocks from the scene as well, and continuing right throughout the night on Friday night. Did you witness all of that? Did you see all that happening?
Well, look, I was there, and I just want to focus on that. There was hundreds of emergency service personnel, and we all played an equal part. But yes, I mean, I did see the effort, and that's why I feel I can speak on behalf of the guards that I stood with and watched work, and all our extra colleagues and the colleagues that came from Northern Ireland with rescue dogs that did played a huge part in it. The guards who were, you know, retrieved CCTV and established the fact early on is exactly how many casualties we thought we were looking for and where we might locate them. So, you know, there was, you know, detective branch, there was guards that came from all over the county, there was the local guards that were off duty that scrambled, there was the senior officers that arrived on scene, you know, the supervisors, and I mean, they're just as affected as anyone else. And everyone's looking to us and looking to them for leadership, and we're going through the same emotions as every other person that's there. So, but you just go into autopilot and you just have to do it. But I have to say, the community carried us. We couldn't have done it without what was in the background.
And the fate of this, the chance, the coincidence, like that's been on everyone's minds all weekend. Have you felt that as well, Brendan?
Yes. As I say, it's total randomness. I mean, two of my colleagues actually had an appointment to go to one of those apartments to take a statement in the afternoon, and only because they were diverted to another call, they weren't there. So it was, and that's the randomness of it. There's so many people. You know, I spoke to a neighbour who I was speaking that day, and his plan was to go up and get diesel at a certain time. And everyone is just the randomness of it. People who were happened to be, if you got out of your car to pay for your diesel, and the person who was still in their car, you know, that could have been the difference between life and death. And that's what people are finding very shocking, and the immediacy of it.
Yeah, and you were there yourself, weren't you, just before it happened, or shortly before it happened?
Well, I had been in the shop earlier all right myself.
Yeah. Are there ongoing supports now, Brendan, for the Gardaí who were involved there at the weekend?
Well, there is support, but unfortunately, I suppose what differentiates us, and there's no hierarchy of anything, but the guards, when the initial recovery stage is finished and a lot of services are stood down, and they're not all stood down, like, the work is only starting for the guards. The same guards who were there on Friday night, dealing with the immediacy and the tragedy and the trauma, are now standing, preserving scenes, interacting, and it's very important. We're there in our statutory capacity to preserve evidence and to facilitate investigation. But you saw that picture in the Sunday Independent yesterday of a young guard there from Milford with his arm around a member of the family. So it's kind of a dual role. We're there supporting the community and providing our function, but it's very much a live operation. We still have a large team on the ground there preserving the scene and assisting other agencies in their inquiries. So there's no chance to even take a breath, but certainly I've spoken to the superintendent this morning. We're starting to put forward a plan to try and put welfare support in place for our people and see what they need. But we actually haven't drawn breath yet. to get to that, but yeah, that's certainly in the planning stages.
And then in terms of the very simple everyday practicality of life in Crieslea today, you know, that your statutory duties, tell me a little bit about that, because rerouting has to happen now. That road is still closed.
Yeah, something as very simple as getting all the children to school this morning, the bus routes, because, you know, that the N56, and it was alluded to in John's report, that's the main artery of transport to West Donegal. So all the children who need to get to school, all the workers need to head this morning, the buses can't get down the side roads. So the bus drivers had to reschedule and use their skills and their knowledge to mobilise, to transfer and have buses in certain locations. So as I said, that ties into what I said earlier. There's no profession, there's no individual that hasn't been impacted by this. So and there's no one that hasn't contributed to the effort. So the bus drivers today, their effort is helping the community deal with the fallout from this. So people, as I said, if you'd never associate with an immediate response, are deeply affected, and their professionalism and commitment to the community is what's carrying us all through.
Brendan, I know that wasn't easy for you to do, but I'm really grateful to you for talking to us this morning. Brendan O'Connor, President of the Garda Representative Association, paying tribute to all of the people who were involved in those rescue and recovery attempts and efforts over the weekend. Hugh Carr now is a journalist with joe.ie and is on the line. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Claire.
Hugh, you're from the Donegal Gaeltacht. You knew Jessica Gallagher well, one of the victims of this explosion. Tell us a little bit about Jessica and when you got to know her.
So I'd be from Ranafast, which is out west Donegal, and there's a Gael College there called College of Regia. And in about 2013, Jessica, along with a group of girls from her school, went out to stay at our house with Chad Rash and Joni. And so got to know her through that then, and just from day one, she just brought so much joy and so much crack into the house, and she just fell in love with the area and, you know, came back then years and stayed with us those the years that she did come back, and then kind of always kept in touch then, you know, kind of lost touch after she went over to Paris to study fashion and to China. But, you know, just during COVID there as well, then we'd kind of text at Christmas and stuff like that. So, so I would say I've known her about 9 years, but it's so sad.
I'm looking at some gorgeous pictures of yourself and Jessica taken over the years, and you can tell that you were very close over those 9 years. How are your parents this morning?
Oh, they're devastated. They're absolutely devastated. You know, Mum particularly, like, had a big fondness for Jessica. Like, you know, we were only just saying over the weekend that she was kind of like one of our own whenever she was staying in the house. You know, so up for the crack and so up for, you know, there's many nights where we were staying up later than we should have been, like, instead of them getting ready for class the next day, you know, and us getting scolded then for, you know, keeping them up. But you would give anything to have those days back again. You know, it's just the whole family is just heartbroken.
And you're in Dublin, but you're heading back now to Donegal, are you?
I am indeed, yeah. I'll be heading back now soon enough. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is obviously very close to home for you, but for your friends and the entire wider community, it must be deeply shocking.
Oh, it's just horrible. I mean, it as you were saying earlier on, it could have been anyone. Like, and, you know, we've been texting each other to, you know, that was one of the first things, was to text people to see if they knew anyone who was affected, or, you know, if, you know, I was texting friends out in Canada who had family in Crieslea to, you know, make sure that they were all okay. And but it could have been anyone. I think that's what makes it all the more tragic, is that there's no rhyme or reason, or there's no kind of way of explaining this. It's just a devastating shock to the community. Like.
Well, Hugh, safe journey to you, and thank you for talking to us today. Hugh Carr, journalist with joe.ie. We'll take a break.
Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Daniel O'Donnell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Clare.
An exceptionally difficult time for the community in Crieslea, as we've been hearing, but also the people of Donegal and of Ireland.
It's just unbelievable. I just, when I first heard it, I was travelling. I was actually in Chicago Airport. And, you know, the initial thing, you don't even imagine it's going to be so serious. And very quickly, you know, I was getting news from home that this was a terrible tragedy. And then, you know, I arrived in Dublin. I knew before I left that they had said there was 3 people who had died. And just waiting on the plane, you know, Donegal is, everybody knows somebody that knows somebody in Donegal. And I suppose Ireland is like that. And I was standing beside a girl who was travelling back, and she said her husband's first cousin had been the first to be identified as you know, having died. And just, you know, there's no words really to express anything of how people must be feeling, you know, increasingly. I can imagine such a small community. Everybody knows everybody. A lot of people are related. And it's beyond comprehension that the like of this would happen.
Yeah. And Donegal is a big county. Crislaw is a small community. But Donegal is just a tight place, isn't it? This is going to be felt right across that county.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was in the shop in August, and I was just thinking, you know, I went in to pay for diesel, walked in, and I was thinking, that's what some people did on Friday. They just walked in to do whatever they needed to do, never thinking, you know, what was ahead of them. And just in a split second, you know, her life can change, not alone for those that are deceased and injured, but all of the people. I mean, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of people that their lives are never, ever going to be the same again. It's just, it doesn't bear thinking about what is just, there's nothing, I don't know how to express what I would like to say.
It's hard to find the words. I know last night you went to a service in Dublin, didn't you?
I did. I got an email from a friend of mine who said that they were having a service, just saying how terrible it was. Not she didn't know where I was. And she said, we're having a service, you know, in Ballally Church at 6 o'clock. And it was near enough that time when I got the email, and I just pulled on me and went down. And it was a beautiful service with very little words. And I think that reflects what everybody is feeling, because there is nothing that anybody can say. The priest and the sister who conducted the service, it was beautiful, and there was a lady who played the violin, and just we sat in meditation for most of the service, just thinking and in silent prayer for all of those, you know, affected. And there was 10 candles lit on the altar for those who have lost their lives. But anyway, it's just, you know, and then I saw a picture of Crislaw and the sign that said, you know, Crislaw, the home of Brady Gallagher. And my mind went back to the day when we all gathered at that sign where we honoured Brady Gallagher, who was the most famous person ever to come out of Crislaw. And I thought about the joy that was in Crislaw that day, and I thought about the sadness that's in Crislaw today. And I just, it's just beyond anything.
And everyone, you know, right across the country now is wondering, what can we do to help? How can we support this community? And I'm sure yourself, you'll be asked to get involved down the line in some way. We all just want to find a way to get them through the next days, weeks and months, because it is going to be really, really difficult.
Well, I suppose all we can do as people who believe that there's more to life than what we have here, all we can do is pray for them. The last thing I did last night, going to sleep, was say the rosary for them. And that's all we can do at this time. Really, that's all you can do. You know, and let them know that they're in your thoughts and prayers. And, you know, there's nothing anybody can do that's going to take away the sense of loss for those that have lost loved ones, and the, you know, those that have been injured, and those people that were about to go into the shop, or those people that left the shop. And there's so many different emotions, I'm sure, for people now that will need to be dealt with. And I would say to people, you know, that have survived to, you know, don't hold on to any feeling that's bothering you. You know, there will be people that are very well and think, I shouldn't be, you know, taking anything on myself, saying I need help. But there will be people that are not affected in a physical way that needs will need help, mm-hmm. and they should address that. You know, don't think because you're all right that, you know, physically that you shouldn't deal with if you have a feeling of any kind of, you know, a nervousness or anything. Everybody should be attended to, yeah. You know. It's important people know that, you know, don't hold on to a feeling because that can develop into something that would affect you down the road.
All right. Well, Daniel, thank you very much for talking to us today. That's Daniel O'Donnell. I'm joined now by Chris McNulty, reporter with the Donegal Democrat. Chris, thank you very much for joining us. I know you've been there in Crieslaw all weekend, and we're all waking up this morning to the newspaper front pages with the photographs, the names, the stories behind the 10 people who lost their lives. We were talking to Hugh Carr just a few minutes ago, describing his friend Jessica earlier, her success, her bubbly personality, his 9-year friendship with her. And I just want to go through the other people who lost their lives, and we want to talk a little bit about them and find out more about them. Will you tell us about Catherine O'Donnell and her son James Monaghan?
Yeah, indeed, Claire. I suppose, you know, we had numbers Friday and Saturday and up until Sunday when we got the names of the 10 people who tragically lost their lives. And among those were Catherine O'Donnell. She's a 39-year-old woman originally from Crieslaw and had been living most recently in Kilmacrenan. And she was in the post office with her young son. You know, I mean, you can imagine just on a Friday afternoon, she meets her son off the school bus just at the Apple Green petrol station. Her son James Monaghan, who was a student at Mulroy College in Milford, it's a town nearby to Crieslaw. James was a student there and had just met his mother, and the two of them gone into the post office. And Catherine had unfortunately a number of years ago also lost a baby daughter, Paige, who sadly passed away. So I mean, you can imagine the devastation in that family just 5 years ago when they lost the baby daughter, Paige, and now dealing with the sad loss of Catherine and her son, James Monaghan.
Mm-hmm. And then that photograph of Shauna Flanagan Garway, 5 years old in her school uniform, that has hit everyone right to their core. And Shauna died alongside her father, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, I think that particular photo is one that really strikes. I mean, that's just taken a number of weeks ago on her first day at school, Wirra in Crieslaw. Shauna, just 5 years of age, and went to the shop with her father, Robert. They were going in to buy a birthday cake for Shauna's mother, Anya. You know, you just think of the innocence of all of that. You know, a little girl who just a number of weeks ago started her, you know, first day at primary school and goes in with the father. You can imagine the excitement and all of that on a Friday evening. Her father, Robert, was originally from Zimbabwe and came to Donegal and to the Crieslaw area where he made home with Anya and the lovely little girl, Shauna. Robert was well known in the area, 50-year-old man, as I said, originally from Zimbabwe and came to make home in Crieslaw.
And Martin McGill then, who was 49, Martin was a carer for his mother, Mary, and his father, Joseph, had died earlier this year.
That's correct. Martin was actually originally from Dumbartonshire in Scotland and had relocated to the Crieslaw area to care for both of his parents. And you remember a word that's been used to describe Martin over the last couple of days has been caring. Everyone has said, you know, he was very caring to his parents, very caring gentleman. He was a huge Celtic fan. And as I said, he came back from Scotland and set up home with his parents. His father, Joseph, passed away in February of this year. And Martin continued to care for his mother, Mary, and was a regular visitor to the shop and to the local pharmacy as he took care of his mother. And I think Martin's situation, it's just one I think we can all relate to, where he came and he ordered a takeaway from a local takeaway, just went into the shop to use the ATM as his food was cooking nearby. I mean, you know how many of us do that on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Leona Harper, who is 14, and we heard a little about Leona from her friends who were gathered last night in Milford to remember her. Tributes have been paid to her by those friends, but also her rugby club, her school, and of course her family.
Yeah, Leona, like we mentioned with James, was a student at Mulray College. They're dealing with unspeakable tragedy this morning, the loss of two students, and also the loss of the mothers of two students. Leona was a very talented sports person. She was in Creasla. She went to a friend's house. She was going to sleep over at a friend's house on Friday evening, and she played rugby with Letterkenny Rugby Club, and had actually just joined the Letterkenny Boxing Club. Speaking to a couple of people over the weekend, and Leona was really looking forward to starting boxing. She was a huge boxing fan and had been really enthusiastic about starting to box and sort of combining that with her rugby talents.
And James O'Flaherty, Chris, was originally from Sydney in Australia. He was 48.
He was indeed. James was an engineering director with a company. Over the last couple of decades, he was originally, as you said, from Sydney in Australia, and he'd worked all across the globe. He spent some time in the United States and in France as well. He was actually a business graduate. He attended college at the University of Tasmania and also spent some time at college in Australia, and he was living in Dunfanaghy, which is a neighbouring village to Creasla, the sort of twin, you know, people in Donegal would refer to Creasla and Dunfanaghy almost as one sort of area. And James was based in Dunfanaghy, where he lived with his wife and son.
And then Martina, or Tina Martin, as she was better known, who worked in the service station, Chris.
She did indeed. You know, people, everyone seems to have known Martina Martin. I suppose, again, the complex that this particular Apple Green service station was, you know, I mean, it housed the shop, the filling station, the post office, the beauty salon, and of course, an apartment complex above. You know, you can imagine Martina Martin was probably in daily contact, you know, with so much of the community. She was originally from Letterkenny, from a well-known family, the Russells. A lot of them would be known in sporting senses, would be, you know, from Letterkenny, which is around maybe 20 kilometres or so from Creasla. Martina was a very, very popular member of staff, and someone actually described she was like the sunshine over the weekend. You know, she was just always, and indeed, you know, that would be sort of befitting of the family as well. You know, just sort of very known as a very happy person who was, as I said, very, very, very well known as a valued member of staff in the shop.
And we also have Hugh Kelly, who was better known as Huey, and Hugh was a farmer.
He was indeed. Hugh was a farmer, and you know, the eldest of the 10 to lose their lives. He was a 59-year-old from Doe Point, and for those of who may be unaware, Doe Castle is a very historic area, just, you know, a couple of kilometres outside of Creasla Village. He worked, did a bit of construction work, and was a farmer, and again was very well known and very well liked. A simple man, kept himself to himself. People have said about Huey, and again a much loved man who was just happened to be in the shop going about his Friday business.
Chris, thank you very much for taking us through. Chris McNulty, reporter with the Donegal Democrat, and we offer our deepest sympathies, everyone here on the team does, and everybody in RT Radio, to the families of all of those who have lost their lives. May they all rest in peace.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.